You please take a seat. We've been thinking a little about being a disciple. And I want to ask the question this morning, why did Jesus appoint his disciples? Well, there's a verse which I love in Mark chapter 3, which says this: he appointed the 12, that they might be with him, and that he might send them out. That they might be with him, and that he might send them out. And it really ties in with what we've been thinking about discipleship in the last few weeks. We've been talking about this, children and young people. You may not have seen this, but this is what the adults have been learning. We thought you actually should learn it this morning so you can test the adults at lunchtime. But we talked about three-dimensional discipleship, actually learning to be with Jesus as we pray and read the Bible, learning to inwardly become more like Jesus, and learning outwardly to go and live like Jesus out in the world, and live like Jesus would if he was us, wherever we are in the week. And I want to just show us two pictures of church this morning. Are you ready for them? Here's the first picture of church. Some of you have seen this before. You see, what that picture represents is it's got 100 dots there. And if there's a few red dots in the corner, you know, today we are the red dots. Because actually today in this country, there'll be 6% of this country who actually go to church once a month or more. That's six of those 100 dots there. And actually on a Sunday, we come together, don't we? We come together to praise God, and to come to allow God to change us and transform us. We are the church gathered. And the other thing you'll notice is that those dots are red and the other dots are grey, or light blue, or whatever you want to call it. But actually it reminds us that we're called to be different as Jesus followers. We're called to be distinct and to live differently to the rest of the world. So that's a picture of us on a Sunday. And then there's another picture coming. That's what the church looks like Monday to Saturday. The church scattered. That actually we don't clump together anymore in our little holy huddle, but we go out into the world, into the different places that God puts us in. But actually in those different places, we're called to do is to stay red. To not just become like the rest of the world, but we're to stay distinct as Jesus followers, as Jesus has called us to be, living his way, living his values. And as we do that, we pray that actually we will have influence on the people around us, that we will actually show them something and speak something of the love of God to those who don't yet know him. The church gathered, but we gather to be empowered to go and be scattered in our week. And I asked something of people, and we'll see how many people have done it. I invited people this morning to bring an object from those places we are in the week. The term we use is front lines. And I would love just to hear about some of the objects that we've brought. You know, I've got my one. I've brought here an agenda for the Malvern Wells Teaching and Learning and Standards Governors Committee, because I'm a governor there, and that's one of my front lines in one of our primary schools. So I'd love to know, has anyone else, and this, I'm hoping some of the children have got some as well, has anyone got an object that you'd like to describe to me, what you brought? Fantastic. Brilliant. You know, we could go on all day, couldn't we? You're all going to have the chance to do something with your things in a minute, because I'm going to invite you all to bring up, if you've got them, your objects from your front line, and we're going to put them on the altar as an offering to God. And then in the prayers, Heather is going to pray for those things as a way of praying for all the places we are. But just imagine the different places we've talked about today. That is what we are, isn't it? On the right-hand side. And all those are opportunities to live for God. for God to use us in those places to share his love with others and to invite people into relationship with Jesus. And I've got another thing which I'm going to give to, I'd like three helpers. I need three helpers to give these out. Joshua, you come help me? Joshua, you're right. You, can you give one of these bits of paper to everyone in this row, this column? And can you give one of those bits of paper to the end person in each of those? And who's over here? Holly, go on. Go on. Can you just give one of those to everyone there? I've got some little stickers, some little red stickers. And what I've done with my little red sticker is I've got my phone and I've put a little red sticker on my phone. Because I look at my phone quite a lot, as my wife tells me. And whenever I look at it, I want to be reminded that God's called me to be a red dot. He's called me to live for him in those places. So I'm going to give you each row of six stickers. Grab one. And I'd like you to put it somewhere where you're looking at it. It might be on your watch. It might be on your phone. It might be on your purse somewhere. And whenever you're there this week, I'd love you to just look at that and say, I want to be... Pray that you would be as God would want you to be in your front line in those places.
This morning's reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verses 1 to 6. And it can be found on page 1038 of the Church Bibles. Jesus sends out the 12. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal those who were ill. He told them, "Take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them." So they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. This is the word of the Lord.
We just sung, "Turn our strivings into works of grace, that Christ may be seen in all we do." Well, that's my prayer. That actually all we do will be works of grace. That all we do will be so that others can see Christ. Open our hearts now as we come to just reflect, meet us in this place, and lead us on. Amen. Today we're looking at just this next bit of our vision statement of seeing lives transformed and communities flourish as we demonstrate and proclaim God's kingdom. And this morning you've got a bit of a double act because I'm going to do a bit and then hand over to Chris, who's particularly going to update us on CAP and more of that to come. But first of all, I want us to think, you know, we live in a broken world, don't we? We only have to watch the news, read the local papers, or just observe daily life. And we see the world isn't how God created it and intended it to be. We see injustice and inequality. We see people in significant positions of authority lying, being deceitful, pushing their own agendas. We see illness and suffering and pain. We see lonely people, bereaved people, many struggling with mental health issues. And we see a large proportion of our population, the grey dots, living lives apart from God, intentionally or not intentionally. And perhaps not seeking to follow God's ways, although so many who are grey dots are following God's ways in so many ways, aren't they? I wonder what brokenness you have seen around you in the places that God has put you in this last week. Just perhaps pause for one minute and think in the places where you've been this week, what's the brokenness that you've seen? All around us, the world's not as God's created it to be. And, you know, God's heart is breaking because of it. But the message of the Bible, the great message, is that God is at work in the mess. That 2,000 years ago, that Jesus came into the mess to restore our relationships with God and to heal this broken world and to bring life in all its fullness. The message that Jesus proclaimed was, the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is in our midst. And one day, at the end of time, when Jesus comes again, there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and everything will be put right for all of eternity, and the kingdom will have come then in all its fullness. But in the meantime, we wait in the in-between times. But what actually do we mean by the kingdom of God? That's here in our vision statement. You know, it's a phrase that we pray in the Lord's Prayer. We prayed it already today. Your kingdom come. But I wonder whether you're like me, and the fact that actually the kingdom phraseology isn't a phrase which actually we were perhaps brought up with in perhaps our churches in our younger days as a Christian. Because I think what many of us perhaps subconsciously heard was, ask Jesus into your life and get a ticket to heaven when you die. It's as if when we become a Christian, we've crossed the line and we just stay in a holy huddle, going to church, following a set of rules, trying to get out of trouble and keep out of trouble and sin and waiting to be whisked up to heaven for all eternity. Now, don't get me wrong, I firmly believe in the amazing eternal life that's offered to all who put their trust in Jesus. And I believe it will be great and amazing when we get there. But I think what Jesus invited us to was so much more than that. He didn't just come to build a church. He didn't just come to give us a ticket to heaven for when we die. He came to bring in his kingdom. So what is the kingdom? Well, I love what Paul Harcourt, who's the head of New Wine, describes it. He says, the kingdom is wherever God is king. Where God is king, everything is restored to his loving intention. Just think about the places that you go this week. Is God king in those places? Are those places restored to God's loving intention? See, God's much bigger story is that in this messy world, God's at work, transforming lives, drawing people back to him, restoring and renewing this broken creation, this broken world, and bringing it under his reign and his rule once again. And the even more amazing news is that actually he invites each and every one of us, his disciples, to join in with him in doing that. He calls us and says, will you be my kingdom people on earth? And that's what's going on here in Luke 9. If you've got a Bible, I'd love to turn to it. Luke 9, as Jesus sends his disciples out. Jesus was saying, in effect, he's saying, you've seen me do it. You've watched as I've done it, as I've healed the sick, as I've gone and proclaimed the good news, as I've invited people to follow me and to come into a relationship with God again. And now I'm sending you to do what I've been doing, to continue to reveal and grow the kingdom, to see lives transformed, to point people back to God, and to allow communities to find new life and new healing. This was part of Jesus' discipleship training strategy. You see, he was preparing them for the time just a few months later, or maybe a couple of years later, we don't know when this was, when actually he would return to his Father and his disciples would be left to continue his mission in the Spirit's power, the mission that Jesus had started. So what did he send them to do? Well, in verse 1, we see he sent them to drive out all demons and to cure diseases and to heal those who were ill. You think what this is about? He's sending them out to demonstrate the kingdom with their actions. The healing of the sick, the driving out of demons, was transforming lives by bringing people freedom and bringing them life in all its fullness again. And at the same time, what it was doing is it was giving the world a glimpse of what the kingdom would be like one day in all its fullness, when evil and suffering and pain were gone forever. You see, I think this shows that God is interested in not just the spiritual bits of our lives, but the whole of our life. He wants people to be healed, not just physically, but emotionally and mentally from their past. He wants people to be released from the chains that hold so many back, those chains of fear, addiction, debt, loneliness, oppression, shame. For that is creation fully restored. And he gives the disciples the opportunity to be part of that. And he gives all of us the opportunity to be part of that too. But he doesn't just leave them and us to demonstrate with our actions. He also invites them to go and proclaim with their words, to go and proclaim the good news. Verse 6. The good news that God loves each one of us, that God has a purpose for each one of us, and that he longs to have a relationship with each one of us. The good news that those disciples actually didn't even know yet, that actually Jesus died to restore our relationship with God, so that whoever we are and whatever we've done, we can know forgiveness, we can be given a fresh start, and we can be invited in to join in with God's exciting mission. He sent them to demonstrate God's love with actions and with power. And he sent them to proclaim God's love with words. That's what Jesus called the first disciples to do. And that's what he calls each of every one of us to do. Us, his kingdom people. So I want to think this morning briefly before I hand over to Chris. What might it look like for us to be people who demonstrate and proclaim God's kingdom on our front lines today? How might God be asking us to join in with seeing him transform lives and seeing him bring new life to communities? Well, I think this is where I find the six M's that the London Institute Contemporary Christianity, LICC, who we've been using some material of, is really helpful. And you'll find this on the back of your life group material this week if you want to go and look at it further. But I think that it's really helpful to say, what does this look like in practice? Firstly, modeling godly character. You know, whenever we live as Jesus would want us to live, we demonstrate something of God's in the way we behave. And actually, in doing that, often that will point people to God. Many people will say, I've heard someone say it in the last couple of weeks to me, people are saying, why do you act like that? Why do you behave so differently? And we can tell them, because actually, that's God's way. We point people to God by the way we behave, by our godly character. Making good work. You know, I loved what Kevin said at the back there. Actually, his work in construction, bridge building, is really important work because it saves lives. And finding out where things are wrong, you know, that's what he's called Kevin to do. And I love it. And just doing our jobs well is a way to bring glory to God and bring the kingdom in. Just that. God is pleased. He delights in that. Ministering grace and love. You know, I look around here and I see so many of you who minister grace and love on your front lines. In your jobs, think of all you guys who work at the bridge. And all the other roles, I could mention so many. All those who work at the Octagon. All those who are in the bereavement ministry here. all those who are fostering and adopting kids, you know, you are ministering grace and love. And when we do that, what we're doing is we're showing this is God's character. God is a God of grace and love. And as we show that to others, we're revealing something of God's character to them. Molding culture. I had a lovely conversation with Ivor and Ginny this week about Ginny's work as a nurse. And she was saying how there's such difficult conversations, a load of back chat, a load of negativity in the group that she works with, and how she's been trying to actually speak differently, to speak positively, to help people see what there is to be thankful for. You know, that's changing culture. That's being the kingdom in her workplace. That is bringing God's values, restoring creation in that little part of the NHS to what God has meant it to be. Being a mouthpiece for truth and justice, you know, all of you who speak up on behalf of the most vulnerable in our society, in our community, and I look around, there are many of you. When you work hard for them, you are a mouthpiece for truth and justice. You are proclaiming and demonstrating God's heart and bringing in the kingdom. And then being a messenger of the gospel, we're called to speak to others of God's love and of his good news. And, you know, I think so often we can think, well, that means I've got to give a 20-minute gospel presentation of just everything that's happened. And, you know, that might be the case. But more often it's those little snippets of conversation. It's those little things saying, can I pray for you? Let me tell you a story of what's happened to me this week. Would you like to come to church? Why don't you come on Alpha? You know, those little conversations, the little bits which we can all do, all of that is being a messenger of the gospel. And why is that last one so important? Well, I think Jesus talked a lot about lost people. People who need God. Because we want people, we want all of us to find God and to find life in all its fullness. And however much I try and read the Bible and try and actually not find this there, when I read the Bible, I see in the Bible it talks about actually that people's eternal destinies are at stake and that we have good news to tell them. You know, I find the six M's really helpful, and I'd really encourage you to go away and think about that. And actually we can do that in two contexts. We can do that in the individual lives that we have on those scattered dots. But we can also do that as part of the ministering together as the church. And Chris is going to come and share some encouraging and exciting updates on what's been going on with CAP a year on.
Great. Thanks, Dave. Hello. I've got some great news to share with you. But before we do that, I just wanted you to be aware today is our CAP celebration Sunday. So it's been a year since we commissioned CAP Malvern. A year ago, Denise and I were standing with our knees wobbling up here at the Unity service, feeling called, being commissioned, but not really knowing what the coming year was going to be. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about what's happened. Dave at the end has asked me if I could just explain a little bit about how it's been for me, but we'll come to that a bit later on. So Christians Against Poverty is a charity, national charity, been running for about 30 years, and its focus is to deal with debt and the problems of poverty in our society. According to the Money Advice Forum, there's 8.3 million people who are over-indebted. That's a big number of people. And what that means is not just that they've overspent on their credit card at Christmas, but actually they've got a serious issue in trying to get back to a zero place where they're not in debt at all. For most of these people, they have been, it's something that has been accruing for many years, and they don't know what to do about it. That's a huge number of people. I heard just in this last week there's 1.5 million people who are considered to be destitute, living in destitution. And what does that mean? Well, they're forgoing meals because they can't afford to feed themselves and their children. They can't put the heating on. They're just really struggling and in fear because of the debt collectors knocking at their door and so on. 1.5 million. What does that look like? Well, I thought, well, could I think of a nearby city? But it's actually much bigger than that. If you took the whole of the population of Herefordshire, Worcestershire and Gloucestershire and added it up together, that's 1.4 million. So all of those people that live in those three counties don't make up the equivalent of the number of people living in destitution in our country. So CAP is there to try and help, amongst other charities. And it's been a real privilege to be part of the debt centre here in Malvern. And we've been able to work with, this year, as we started up, started seeing clients in April, nine individuals or families. And it's been a real privilege to walk alongside them. Their challenges are not just about debt. For most of them, they've got all sorts of things that are difficult in their lives to deal with. And as Christians Against Poverty, we try and not just give them a budget and a plan, but actually to walk alongside them. And you're going to hear a little bit more about that. So what does the year ahead look like? I'll come back and tell you a couple of stories about individuals we've helped in a minute. But we are looking to increase the number of people we're seeing this year and working perhaps with a slightly wider community than we currently have. But one of the things we are pioneering in the town is a thing called CAP Money. I think there's a slide. Great. So in March, we're going to be starting this here at St Andrews. And this is a budgeting financial course. And Andy and Michael, Andy Limer and Michael Jupe, are going to be running this. And if you want to know any more about that, then please talk to either of them. This is a new venture for us alongside the Debt Centre. So two people that we've helped, normally we won't share names of anybody because it's important that we're confidential, but two people that we've helped, one of them was really keen to actually be here today to say thank you. He can't, unfortunately, because he's been rostered on onto work today. But we were very fortunate to be able to interview him, and we videoed that. It's a bit too long to show you the whole thing. I'm going to show you two snippets. So this is Simon, and this is one of the clients who Denise has been working with. And he's had a lot of issues that around his debt as well. And he came debt-free in November, which is amazing, and we mentioned that in the course of the interview as well. But perhaps if we can just play the first clip.
Okay, so that was really exciting, being able to share that with
you. I went on Simon's face. The other great news is that one of the clients... we have the opportunity to pray with people. Christians Against Poverty, this is what it says on the tin, and we offer to pray for folk. And one of the people we've been working with, I'm not going to give you his name, but he said, nobody's ever asked me that before, can I pray with you? And he said, yes, please. Yeah, let's do that. And then the next time I visited, he said, I've been praying every day since you last visited. And then the third time, he stopped me before I was about to pray for him, and he said, you know what, this is really making a difference to me. And over the months, it's really, really exciting. He's come from nowhere. He gave his life to Jesus in December, and he's on the Alpha course. Yeah, it's just tremendous. And this is really new for me. It's not something I've really been involved with before, but it's so much God doing it and just being there to be part of it and encourage. It's just amazing. So that's been fantastic. So there are four ways in which you might be able to help us. We sort of have four pillars that support the Debt Centre. The first is prayer. It's the sort of lifeblood of all we do. And so we really value the prayer that the prayers that you ask God for on our behalf and our clients' behalf. We have a monthly prayer meeting. The next one is at St. Andrew's. We sort of move it around the six partner churches. And the next one is at St. Andrew's. So you're very welcome to come to that or any of the others. It's on Monday the 17th. It's in the notice sheets. If you want to have information emailed to you to help you with your prayers, then we've got a form at the back, or actually it's in the hall. Do put your name down and I can send you that as well. The second way is in raising funds and raising the profile. And you could all help with raising the profile if you come across people that you think might just value some support from us, then we've got loads of these leaflets. Just give them one of those and explain, and they just need to call that number and we'll get them an appointment. In terms of raising funds, if you wanted to give us a contribution, Andy Limer is here somewhere, and he would love to talk to you. He's our treasurer. But there's two other specific things we're doing. There's a quiz in March. If that's your thing, then do come and join us up at the Wells Village Hall. And could I challenge you to have a pancake party, raising some funds and raising awareness? I can give you all the details about what's involved over the next month or two. Perhaps that's something life groups could do, maybe. On the left-hand side there's two other things. There's a blessings team, which you've probably heard Colin Robbins talking about. He's always looking for ways in which he can help, works alongside us in blessing our clients in practical ways and with material things. So there's all sorts of things we can do. Please do talk to Colin, and he's got some inspiring stories to tell you as well about ways in which we've been able to bless people. And I'm just going to embarrass somebody, if that's all right, Sue. Sue had a mobility scooter that she wanted to find a new home for, and one of our clients was in desperate need. And with a little bit of work in getting a battery and so on, Colin was able to deliver that to a client. So thank you, Sue, and that's made a big difference in her life. So thank you. And then the final thing is befrienders. So for every client we go and visit, we try and link them up with somebody from one of the partner churches who will be their friend. It works in different ways, what we can try and encourage is a long-term relationship whereby that befriender sticks with them until they become debt-free. It's a really rewarding thing, and I'm going to talk to somebody about that in a minute. But before I talk to a befriender, I'd like you to hear what Simon said about how it's worked for him. So could I invite the awesome guy to come up, please?
That's a bit bit embarrassing, that, wasn't it?
I wasn't sure whether to play that, but no, it's important.
I brought the sheet.
Oh, good, good. You've played an important part in Simon's journey out, getting out of debt. Simon was a little bit reticent about the bath sheet. Can you just sort of explain that a little bit more and what the situation was?
Well, I was offered some money to spend, basically, I think it was from Colin, and I just asked him what he needed, and he showed me, you probably didn't see on there, he's 6'3", I was going to say a rude word, but he's very big, and I said, what do you want? And he said, well, he showed me his towel, and it was like a napkin in his hand, you know, it was a proper towel. And I said, he said, could I have a big towel? So I went down to, with this money, went down to M&S, actually, advert there, and bought this enormous, I thought it was enormous, but when he put it around him, it only just fitted. He's a big guy. And so that's how it went.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he was absolutely, well, the word's gobsmacked, I think.
Yeah. And as I say, he's quite reticent about explaining about his situation, but he really was in quite a state, wasn't he?
And the other thing you mentioned was about the hamper. Well, there was a bit of money left over, so I got a Mountain Warehouse voucher, and I gave it to him, and he was able in the sales to get a coat that actually fitted him. Because he's, you know, he's from South Africa, you may have picked that up. And he feels the cold quite a bit, so he needed a big coat. Mm. So that's what he got, and he was very grateful for that. He showed it to me as well. Yeah. It would have swamped me, I tell you.
That's great. That's great. Now, I'm unashamedly appealing for people to think about being befrienders today. So can you, just from your perspective, give a little bit of an insight of what it's like?
At first I felt, well, I can't do this. It, you know, I went around with Denise and saw this guy, and I had difficulty relating. And then I thought, well, you know, there's a big guy with me, he's standing behind me here, watching, and he's helping me. So I went and did it, and you step out the boat, really, to do it. You know, I did anyway. And it's just fulfilling what we've been talking about today, you know. I didn't take a shirt with me, you know. I took a bath towel, you know. So,
yeah.
So, you know, that's... I'm just seeing what I've missed off. And also, the other thing I wanted to say is, you see these guys, and he's just an ordinary guy. Just got into a bad place. He's a carer. He doesn't earn a lot of money, and anything that comes along, you know, stops him dead, almost. And fortunately, he's got us as friends, and that's what you're doing. If you become a befriender, you're being a friend to a guy who, for no fault of his own, really is in a bad way. And that's what I would say there. But for the grace of God, go I.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fantastic. I'm not going to embarrass you anymore, but what I'd like to do is to pray for you and also for...
Hang on. I need some breakfast bowls for him. Not many, just if you've got any spare.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's simple things.
Yeah, and actually that's the way the blessings team works. So if a befriender knows something that their client needs, then they'll perhaps talk to Colin... And Colin will share that need around, and hopefully somebody will respond. But, yeah. I didn't play the part of the video where I asked Simon what he'd like us to pray for him. He is a man of faith, and he said two things. One is financial security. He is quite close. His budget just about manages, and he's able to do things. But if something goes wrong with his car, like it did... this last week, or there's some interruption into his income, so his universal credit, there was a hiccup in January. It makes such a big difference for you. For most of us, we've got enough in reserve, haven't we? We can cope with little hiccups, but for somebody in Simon's position, it's difficult. And the other thing he asked us to pray for was godly relationships. He's quite a lonely chap. And Bob is fulfilling that to some extent. But if we can pray for all of our clients in that respect as well. So can I just pray for you? Lord, we thank you for the work that Bob is doing, being a friend to Simon. And we pray for Simon too, that you would hold him in his need and help him to stick to his budget and to follow you. And we pray for those godly friendships and financial security for him. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. That's great. That's all good, Tom. Yeah. So just to finish off, and this is the bit where I feel slightly embarrassed, that Dave asked me just to explain what it's been like for me. And as I said at the beginning, I really didn't know what it was going to be like being the debt center manager, and what it was going to be like going into people's homes. It's been a real journey, and I've gone quite a long way out of my comfort zone, but I felt called to do it. And it's been such a rewarding experience, as I've had to trust. Trust was the word of the year, for the year, last year for me, and holding on to a verse, which is from Book of Timothy, which says, ours is not a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power, of love, and self-discipline. And that all those words have been really important for me as I've been trying to hold it and hold all that God has been asking me to do. But the journey has been absolutely astonishing. And as I've trusted, the Lord has sort of revealed things to us as a group, it's not just to me, about what he wants to do. And he's actually shown us things. Just pray for them. When you have the thought or the need, just pray. And he's been responding in so many different ways. And it's been absolutely amazing. One of the pictures that the Lord has given me recently, I come from a business background, and I tend to think of the big picture and the organisation and the programmes and things like that. But what the Lord has been showing me recently is the story of the lost sheep again, and about God's heart is for the one. So we can leave the 99 behind and go for the one. And it's his role as the shepherd to do that, but actually we can go with him on that journey in seeking out the one. And that's been really powerful for me and helped me to recognize it doesn't matter about the number, total number of clients we're seeing, each one is precious in Jesus' hands. So thank you for your patience in listening to me. Thank you for celebrating with me. It's been a great year, and I'm so looking forward to the coming year. Thank you.
Amazing stories, isn't it? Just amazing what God does when we're prepared to step out. I'd just like to invite you to stand, actually. Let's just respond, and we're going to sing in a moment. But I think one of the things which Bob said was, I didn't think I could do it. And I think Chris would have probably said that many times too. I didn't think I could do it. And when we read the story that we've read today of the disciples, you think, I can't be like that. But you know, the first verse of Luke 9 says Jesus sent them out in power. He gave them power and authority. And that's why he said, don't take a shirt, don't take spare stuff with you. He said, I just want you to go out and trust me. And we're going to just have a time now where we're going to be open to God meeting us and giving us his power and authority to go to these places that we're going to go this week. So I'd just like to have a moment's silence and just invite you to just be open to what God wants to say to you right now. And then we're going to pray, and then we're going to sing.